every military analyst from China, Russia, the RAND Corporation, the Pentagon, no one disagrees. The International Atomic Association of Scientists with their doomsday clock in Chicago. It is the closest to nuclear war we've ever been on the threat escalation ladder.
We have a plan. We know what to do. So let us deliver. We must.
We will, of course, continue working closely with our partners in NATO. This is a moment for Europe, and we are ready to step up.
The Secretary General of NATO warning about the prospect of war, and he put it in really stark terms. He said, we are Russia's next target, and we are already in harm's way. And you sort of wonder why he's saying that now, and it's partly about a message to European people. You do need to spend money on defense, yes. But also getting people ready psychologically as well. Yeah.
Now we are dealing with the third form of totalitarianism. This time it is liberal totalitarianism. So they are going to sacrifice everything, any normal rational interests, any normal values, in order to promote their crazy maniac agenda.
He said a short while ago, in some previous comments earlier, that we must be prepared for the scale of war our grandparents or great-grandparents endured.
We all agree that Ukraine is our first line of defense. We have to step up the military support for Ukraine.
Unelected dictatorship, Ursula von der Leyen. Allied with the British Empire, that's the modern Hitler. The real thing, that is psychotic megalomania. That will get us all killed. That's the number one threat on Earth right now. This witch.
I want the leader of the European Union, which is now Ursula von der Leyen, to be democratically elected, because now he's not elected. She comes inside the European Parliament and we say yes or no, but I think it's more of a show than actually a vote, because she makes deals with all the political parties from before to vote.
The real problem, it is the nuclear fight, war between Russia and United States of America. That is the last call. That is apocalypse. That is Armageddon. If we could reduce this danger, this threat to European Union, and if United States will stay out of it, I think that is the main reason why nuclear war will not happen.
Number one, the war is won. Russia has won. If you want to stop the bleeding, if you want to have some sort of impact on how much further the Russians go in terms of absorbing territory, then sit down and admit that the war is over, that they've won, and hammer out some sort of solution. Because if you don't, this nonsense sponsored by MI6, the CIA, and Mossad in Kiev is going to continue. And as it continues, the Russians will move forward until they're confident that they have secured enough space, not just territory, but space, frankly, that allows them to feel secure as a nation.
That Russia is not going to attack Europe. It's funny for us. It's laughable because we never wanted to attack Europe. Okay, let's put it in writing. But there are some people who are not particularly, shall we say, with us. I don't know, there may be some crooks when everything is being fed to the society and the citizens are scared and they want to hear that we don't have any aggressive plans towards Europe.
Our own GOP senators that are coming out against it. Let me give you a wild guess as to where they are personally invested with in regards to their stock portfolios. You guessed it.
Trump's got to take the gloves off. Don't just leave NATO. Break up the EU. There's all these states that don't want to be under it. Most of them didn't even vote to get in it. It literally was set up as a trade deal scam, Treaty of Rome in 56. Point out it's unelected. Point out they're killing all these AfD candidates. Point out it's the new Hitler. And just break it up. We can do this.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Back to the War Room, folks. We got a lot going on over here. I'm Brianna Morello, filling in for Harrison Smith on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday evening. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us, of course. So thank you for being here. All right, as many of you guys know, I'm not in our normal studio. I'm here in the swamp, and we've been triggering those in the corporate media, which is good news. If you guys saw earlier today, I was at the Pentagon, and we really got them upset that the independent world is now taking over for the corporate media world. And, it's been endless attacks the last few weeks on that front. But listen, we're exposing a lot. And we were asking all the tough questions today at the Pentagon. And we're going to get more into that in just a bit. But right now, I want to play this clip for you because we've talked about it. As many of you guys know, there was that horrific terror attack that took place last week in Washington, D.C., an Afghan refugee is what they like to call him, decided to drive across the country and shoot two National Guardsmen. Unfortunately, one has passed away and the other one is still fighting for his life, but things are looking good for him. But when it comes to the question of how did this person get here in the first place, there's only one way to point your finger, and that's at the Biden regime. The Biden regime funneled thousands of Afghan refugees into this country. We had no idea where they were coming from, who they were. And right now we're trying to get to how did this happen? I want to play this clip for you, clip five. This is the Secretary of DHS, Kristi Noem, coming out and saying that this individual was poorly vetted. Take a listen.
Well, we know that when Joe Biden left the White House, he left us with a 1.5 million case backlog in asylum claims. And individuals are required under law and under policy to check in every single year when they have asylum in this country, and that wasn't being done. These individuals that were brought in and then vetted on information that was gathered by the Biden administration that wasn't thorough. And so now we're completely changing that since President Trump has been in the White House and since I've been at DHS. We're using biometric information. We're using those social media platforms and looking at what they're saying and doing and making sure that we have a government when a country is sending us someone, we have a government that is stable in that country that can actually share information with us. How do we vet someone that comes from Afghanistan or Somalia or Yemen if they don't have a government that we can communicate with that will share information with us? And so that is one of the prerogatives and one of the priorities that we're putting on these countries if they want to continue to send us people that want to claim asylum.
The vetting process is a major, major issue. But folks, you can't vet these people. I mean, you just heard the secretary lay it out for you. The reality is these people come from countries that, number one, aren't going to be honest with us, right? They're not going to tell you, especially if you're turning to the Taliban and asking, hey, is this a terrorist that's trying to come into our country? I mean, they're not going to tell you that. And so it really calls into question is how can our vetting process actually be functioning and actually work for the American people? And the reality is, I don't think it actually will. Joining me to discuss is Senator Tommy Tuberville. He joins us today in the Rumble studio. It is an honor to have you on, sir. So thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
We are here in swamp territory. We're very excited about that. We've been asking a lot of tough questions all week. And so this one is one I want to get your take on because you're obviously very outspoken on the Islam issue. And you cause a lot of headlines where you piss off the corporate media. And we're very excited about that because for so long, these types of things have not been challenged when it comes to allowing these migrants. They always call them asylum seekers, but the reality is they come here and they want to cause harm. So how do we vet these people and bring them into our country?
Well, first of all, we didn't vet them. Okay.
Mm, yeah.
We brought in, tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a little story. When all this happened in Afghanistan, I had to go over to India And I said, you know, I'm going to go back through Brussels and meet with the NATO commander and see how it's going. That's where we sent all of the Afghanistanians that we brought out of Afghanistan, and we housed them where we tented them. They put them in tents in these little villages and stuff. Now, they run in different tribes, okay? And the NATO commander told me, he says, Coach, we're having huge problems. So what's going on? He said, well, we're having rapes, boys, little girls, women. We're having fights. We can't control them. And I've gone to all the leaders of the tribes and said, listen, either you handle it or we're going to handle it. And they got them and somewhat corralled them up, but they weren't asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. We brought out anybody that would get on the plane is what happened. Joe Biden said, let's get as many people out as we possibly can. I said, have we vetted these people? Coach, we don't vet these people because we don't know who they are. There's no identification. They have no sense of reality when it comes to being a part of anything. And so we're just biometric them. We're putting them on planes. We're shipping them to the United States of America. So that's how we got all these people. And we knew it was going to cause problems. But that's what the Biden administration wants. They have done so much damage to this country. President Trump is probably the best pro-growth president we've ever had, but he can't do anything because of all the problems they created trying to get his head above water to get this country back going in the right direction. But it is an absolute disaster when it comes to the Muslims coming in this country.
Yeah, and people don't want to talk about it. They want to play it safe. And it's the reality is these people don't belong in the West. No. They hate us. They despise us. And you brought up a great point, the sexual assault angle to all of this. People shy away from the topic, too, because they just don't want to talk about it. But I've sat here for years following what happened when we brought them onto U.S. military bases. And I actually asked the Pentagon about it today. Specifically, we saw that there were a couple of stories coming out about children and women being raped at these military bases. And then all of a sudden, they stopped reporting it. They didn't tell the public about any of this. And we don't even know if those people who were accused of rape, whether they were deported, whether they were arrested, we don't know if they're sitting in prisons, right? I mean, we have no idea where these people are. I asked the Pentagon if they were going to give us some statistics on all of this. We could find out how many crimes were committed while they were on our military bases. And we didn't really get a direct answer in all of this. It's really concerning, but you bring up a great point. And you also posted this on X, too, about ban all Islam immigrants and deport every single Islamist. Now, you've been very aggressive on this issue. Why is this a top priority for you?
Well, first of all, I love America.
Yeah.
And you and I have had the opportunity to be in a country that is the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. But we're losing it. Mm-hmm. And we're losing it at a fast pace simply for the fact of immigration. We can't allow to continue this to happen. Now, we want people to come here for the right reasons. We don't want you to come if you're not having problems in your own country. If you live in a country that is functional, you don't deserve to come to the United States of America. We'll only take you if you're in trouble. But that wasn't Biden administration's forte. They said, hey, we're just going to take anybody. They opened up the borders. They loaded up planes. The people they brought from Afghanistan weren't translators or friends of the American soldiers. They were just anybody that would get on the plane. And so Islam is it's a tough situation. Mm-hmm. We want anybody to come here that can make our country better. That's the way I look at it. If you can come here and go by our laws and go by our Constitution and make our country better and want to assimilate, I'm all for you. They don't want to do that. They want to change this country to something else. Now, Sharia law and Islam is not a religion. Mm-hmm. It's a cult, okay? And their cult believes in totally different things we believe in. They don't believe in, Americans, kill the infidel, do away with everything that we believe in. They hate Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having tens of thousands of people killed in Nigeria by Muslims because they're Christians.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Why do we even take that chance? So I'm saying they don't belong here. Let's pack them up and send them home. And I think a lot of people are starting to understand after this hitting last week here, two or three blocks from where we're at right now, it's a huge problem. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And again, we've got to start speaking up about it because if you don't talk about your problems, you can't solve the problem. And so let's start talking about it.
Yeah, and it's really important that we do just that. I mean, the fact that we have to wait, sadly, until one National Guardswoman lost her life. I mean, that's just devastating. But it's starting to create an open dialogue here that I think is very important. And we're also starting to reveal Somalian fraud. That's a big topic these days. I want to play clip 19 for you, because President Trump earlier today was calling out Somalia. And he had quite the interesting way of describing the Somalians that have come into this country. Take a listen.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country's no good for a reason. Their country stinks, and we don't want them in our country. I could say that about other countries, too. I can say it about other countries, too. We don't want them to help. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it. We could go one way or the other, and we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country. Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These are people that work. These are people that say, let's go. Come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise, and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell, and they complain and do nothing but bitch, we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Thank you very much,
everybody. Okay, President Trump really not holding back there, and very descriptive on how he feels about all of this. But, you know, you come from the great state of Alabama, and you guys are starting to see a little bit of issues here. You know, I was going through your X page, and I'm obviously now in Texas. I can't call myself a Texan yet, but we've seen over the last 2 years in my little area alone, 48 mosques get popping up, and all these Islamic compounds is what they're trying to pop up and open up. And they're doing their best to lie and deceive the American people. Epic is one great example of that. But you're calling it out, and you're trying to do your very best to make sure that this doesn't happen to Alabama right now, specifically saying the only place this Islamic academy should be moving is out of Alabama. How important is it for you to make sure that Alabama, especially when you're campaigning right now, but how important is it for you to make sure that Alabama is secure and it's not going to be taking in Islam or Islamists, I should say?
Well, Brianna, first of all, that's my president. That's who I voted for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
America first.
Yeah.
Get these people out that don't belong here. Mm-hmm. Protect the people of this country first. And that's what he's doing. He's had enough of it. Mm-hmm. You know, after this nonsense that we had with these two young people killed, one killed and the other one in bad shape. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to this country that we can't even protect our own military people. And so that's the guy I voted for. That's a good friend of mine. And we go to the point of what you're saying. We have 50 states in this country. Muslim communities are moving everywhere. Yeah. In every state, they're building mosques. They're having these five prayers a day. They're pushing this cult on everybody across the country. Now, the people that are vulnerable are obviously our young people that are in these woke universities that are falling in line with them. And it's going to catch up with us if we don't start talking about it. If we don't talk about it, again, people are not going, they're not going to wake up and look and go, what is this? Or is this really true? Is this really happening? You brought up Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas has a huge infiltration of Muslims north of the city, and they're buying land, putting in mosques, they're building schools in Birmingham, Alabama, in Hoover. We just had the city council say, no, you're not. There's a small school that's a Muslim school in that area. They want larger area where they can build a bigger school, infiltrate more, and bring in more young people to teach them the Muslim faith. And again, I'm a senator right now, and I'm going to fight it. In the future, in a year, I'll be the governor. And I'll be damned if we're going to do that in the state of Alabama. We're going to protect the people of Alabama. We're going to protect our Constitution. We're going to protect our state. We're going to protect our country.
And that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. How do you plan on carrying that out? Because it's going to be very, very hard to try to make sure that they can't purchase land and build these little Muslim compounds all over Alabama.
Well, we've got to prove that what they're doing is going against our Constitution. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't preach hate. You can't preach death. Yeah. Kill all infidels. Kill all Christians. You can't do that. And we'll find some way, somehow, that we can make sure that this did not grow. And again, we go back to what we said earlier. If you're here for a reason, and that reason is to bring down our country through some kind of cult, I mean, it's got to go. And we've got to find ways to do it. And again, as United States Senator, we can talk about it. But when you're in charge of a state, you can do a lot more about it. And you can push regulations. You can push building codes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to put up with it as a governor of the state of Alabama. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what people want to hear. I mean, the reality of it is now in Texas, I was there when we had the public hearing and I was on EPIC, the East Plano Islamic Center. They've now actually rebranded their name. They're just calling themselves the Meadow now, according to the judge. So they're doing this rebranding to make it seem like it's not a threat. But, you know, I was very proud because I sat there in the courtroom while conservative Christians flooded the entire courtroom. And then there were so many in the room that we couldn't actually sit everyone. So they actually had to have an overflow room for all of us. And so many people, I was so proud of them coming out, speaking out, saying they don't want this in their community and holding people accountable. The judge, Chris Hill, in Collin County, actually siding with Texans and saying, okay, like we're not going to let you guys build up on land right now. So they're trying to do this whole pivot now. But it's super important for Americans to understand that you have to fight now. You have to stop this now while you still can, because right now, Texas, once they purchase the land, it's their land. So getting into this fight now and pushing for this now is critical. And, you know, we're seeing it, and we'll kind of just pivot a little bit. Minnesota, I want to play clip six for you, because we talk about these migrants who have flooded into our country. Somalia, obviously, Somalians have flooded in, and there's been a large amount of fraud. Earlier today, Chrissy Noem even calling it out, the DHS
millions
secretary.
Millions of dollars.
She said 50% of the Somalians over there actually committed fraud to get into our country, 50%. Now, she says DHS is going to go out there and start making these arrests to get rid of these people. Because obviously they can't do that. But that's just immigration fraud. Then there's also the financial in all of this. Millions of dollars. And according to reports, they flooded this over to terrorist organizations back in their homeland. But I want to listen to clip six, because this is one Somalian, and she's doing a local news interview. And she says, yeah, there's some of them that commit fraud, but it's not all of us. Take a listen to clip six.
I'm not comfortable sometimes. Because when I drive, when I'm sitting somewhere, not comfortable like before.
She says the president's recent focus on the Somali community is unnerving.
What he said, we've affected all communities. We know some people, they make fraud, but not all.
Okay, so some people make fraud, but not all. That's her fight to keep Somalians in this country right now. President Trump, I don't think he's buying that, do you?
Well, thank you, Barack Obama. He's the one who brought him in here, dumped him in one place. That was all by plan, to try to take over some congressional seats. And then, of course, a lot of them came here illegally. Mm-hmm. We have one here in the United States Congress that came here illegally, married her brother to become a citizen, which is ridiculous. And if we allow that to happen, we're not going to make it. Yeah. And you heard President Trump say a few minutes ago, we're at the tipping point of this country. I mean, folks, I mean, you might have a great family. You might have a little money in the bank. You have good kids and going to school. But all that's going to come to a halt if we don't wake up and smell the roses here and really tell what's going on. We're being overtaken by Muslims in this country. And it's, again, they come from different areas, different countries. I think there's somewhere in the 50s Muslim countries. And they're coming from all of them. They're coming here. They have a plan. They have a much better plan than what we have. They've overtaken Europe.
Yeah.
They've overtaken it. And, you know, they flooded the zone, so to speak. And now what's happening? We're having to pay for all the welfare, the SNAP, everything, all these subsidies. And the American people out there that pay all these taxes, they're not getting the infrastructure in this country that they deserve. They're not getting the money back coming back to their states for education or health care. All the money's going to people that shouldn't be here, and it's time to stop it.
Yeah, it is time to stop it. And I think President Trump is going to make that a top priority. I mean, he seems fired up on the issue. There's another issue he's fired up on too. Tim Walz calling him out for allowing all this corruption, of course, the governor in Minnesota. It's very interesting because the media wasn't very happy when President Trump decided to call Tim Walz out for being low IQ. And in clip seven, they tried to get him to back out of the statements that he made previously. But President Trump's not backing down. Take a listen.
In that same post, you mentioned Tim Walz, and you called him what many Americans do find an offensive word, retarded. Do you stand by that claim of calling Tim Walz retarded?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him, absolutely, sure.
But you don't think
you have a problem with him? You know what? I think there's something wrong with him. Anybody that would do what he did, anybody that would allow those people into a state and pay billions of dollars out to Somalia, we give billions of dollars to Somalia. It's not even a country because it doesn't function like a country. It's got a name, but it doesn't function like a country. Yeah, there's something wrong with Walz.
All right, so Walz is not going to, well, I mean, he's not going to like, obviously, the president going after him. But President Trump, again, not backing down from the comments that he made, even though the media tried to bully him a little bit there. Your reaction?
You can't back down.
Yeah.
Now's the time to speak up, to be more vocal. President Trump's exactly right. I mean, this guy's got some kind of problem. And I don't know what it is. And his wife's even worse. We saw him during the campaign. They couldn't put two sentences together. Here's a guy dancing out. Coming out wanting to be the vice president of the United States and looks like a clown, his mannerisms. But at the end of the day, that's what they voted for in Minnesota. And we talked about earlier about Texas and Alabama. I'm not as concerned. I'm concerned because the push is on now to take over the South and more Christian-type areas.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about the northern states where there's not as many Christians anymore for some reason. Mm-hmm. They're being pushed out. All these kids are taking over these big cities, and we're going to have some problems that we can't fix in the cities. It's going to be so broken we can't fix it. And President Trump, again, the only way we can do it is start taking them and say, listen, adios, time to go home.
Yeah.
And I think he's on the verge of doing that.
Yeah, I think he is. And we're hopeful that he is, because this is a very important issue for every American at this point. They don't want to lose their communities, and they want to keep fighting for their communities. And that's exactly why we elected President Trump to get reelected and send him back into the White House. And that was very important. We've got about a minute left in this. I want you to talk about your campaign, because obviously you're running for governor of Alabama, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But what do you want the American people to know about your campaign?
Well, President Trump's still mad at me a little bit. He wants me to stay. As I told him, I said, listen, you're going to send the power back to the states. You're going to send the money and the power back. And should. States should run their own, because we're all different. Texas is different than Alabama. Alabama is different than Tennessee. We're all different. And so I'm a builder. I'm kind of like him. You know, I've coached football teams all my life. I've put together staffs and those things. And I want to do the same thing in Alabama. I know people here now. I know the president. Our election's a year away. I've got a great chance to win. Right now, I don't have a primary candidate, but I do have a former Senator Doug Jones running against me. And of course, he still lives up here after he wants to run in Alabama for governor, and had been back maybe a couple of times. But at the end of the day, I want to make Alabama better. I'm visiting with every Republican governor across this country that has done something good and something bad. Try to learn from good. That's what you did as a coach. Coaches are nothing but thieves, and governors are nothing but thieves. You steal things that work in other states. And so that's what I'm going to do, and I'm looking forward to it. But I got a year left here with President Trump, and I want to help him as much as I possibly can with a lot of things, especially immigration.
Yeah, and that's a big one, and we look forward to that. Senator Tommy Tuberville, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time, and it's always good to catch up with you in person, so we greatly appreciate it. Folks, in the meantime, make sure you head on over right now. We have a limited time sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements, so now is the time to stock up. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you grab it before this deal ends. Or also, you know, with every purchase, you get an entry to win some cash and a great car. So definitely head on over to thealexjonesstore.com now. More on the way.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at thealexjonesstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue. You wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils. And you wanted high-quality Shilajit. He brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. This is concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. You can cancel anytime for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down. And we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we couldn't give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Force filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. All right, we're halfway through the second hour of the program. Excited that you're all joining us today, of course. A lot that we still haven't been able to kind of dig through, specifically the J6 pipe bomber story. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a moment. In the meantime, though, we will be taking your calls in the third hour of the program. So give us a call if you'd like to discuss any of the topics we've discussed thus far. It's 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Let's keep those topics relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. Yesterday, we had some callers on the line we didn't get to because some of the calls went long. So I want to try to get to everyone. So again, 877-789-2539. Okay, so let's talk about the pipe bomber, the suspect. This individual, Brian Cole Jr., has officially been charged with the explosive devices that were left behind, allegedly, around the RNC and the DNC. Now, according to CNN, that is a white guy, but thankfully you have your own eyes, of course. It was very interesting to sit back and watch because, again, 5 years? I mean, I don't know what the explanation for this all is. This took a very long time to get to the bottom of this. And when you read the criminal complaint, well, it sounds like they should have had this in the bag, if this is true, within a couple of months. So what the heck happened here? Well, I want to turn to clip 15 because the Attorney General Pam Bondi says that the tip received, which they said brought them to the suspect, it wasn't a new tip. Take a listen.
Thank you so much. So any theory on why Kamala Harris has never mentioned coming within 20 feet of being assassinated, and any news on why her Secret Service team took so long to find this bomb at the DNC?
No, but what I will tell you is that evidence has been sitting there collecting dust. This wasn't a new tip. It wasn't some new evidence. It was the hard work of President Trump's administration, Deputy Director Bongino and Director Patel. I watched them from day one come in here and say, we are going to solve this crime. And they did, working hand in hand with U.S. Attorney Pirro and all of our great attorneys.
Okay, so they claim that they have caught the J6 pipe bomber. I don't know if this is a slam dunk, but I'm no great legal mind, but joining us is one. Please welcome to the show, Joseph McBride. He is a criminal defense attorney, trial lawyer, and overall patriot. And I look forward to hearing his take on all of this, because I know McBride has been following this story, of course, for many, many years now. It's good to have you on, my friend. I just kind of want to get your take to start this off with this criminal complaint. What are your thoughts on it thus far?
It doesn't feel right to me. Feels like a load of crap. I am not buying what they're selling at all. Look, the idea that they had this information for 5 years and they sat on it, it was in some dusty room somewhere, and they just came upon it now after the Blaze put out their story, it stinks to high heaven. I don't believe it. I don't trust the government. I certainly don't trust the FBI. This FBI team, the Department of Justice, has not delivered on its promises to the American people. This feels like... It just doesn't, I don't know what to call it, Brianna. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. The idea that they have somebody who looks like this guy, walks like this guy, talks like this guy, who doesn't fit the model that everybody thought the pipe bomber was going to fit, that this guy was just sitting there on the shelf the entire time, is absolute nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And, I'm interested to see what it says, to see what comes out. But this is what we do know. We know that there's the principle of cause and effect. Whether or not the Blaze got it right or got it wrong, the Blaze provoked the Department of Justice and the FBI to do whatever it needed to do to either find this guy or come up with this information. The timing is off. My gut is off about it. I go on my gut on everything in life. When I disobey my gut, I pay dearly for it. So I'm going to stick with my gut until I see more evidence indicating that this is actually what they claim it to be. Because right now, none of this feels right. None of it feels right at all.
Yeah, McBride, I actually did challenge a little bit of this because I read this criminal complaint, although this might be good. It's like additional evidence to seal the deal. This doesn't feel like a slam dunk at all. It just feels like, okay, they were in the area at the time based on their cell phone records. If I wanted to pin something on someone, maybe you could use that as an excuse. You could take their phone somewhere to pin them in the air. I mean, it's not a slam dunk for me. The conspiracy theories in my own head kind of go off. And I asked the FBI specifically those questions as to, is there more here? They said to me specifically that there's more evidence. I said, how did you even get to this guy to even know to look at his financial records to dig into all of this? They said, we'll learn more over the next couple of days, and especially when he does make his first criminal appearance in court, which is expected later this afternoon. So I look forward to seeing that. But you know, when Steve Baker and the Blaze released their report as to who they suspected was the pipe bomber, I reached out to a bunch of people, and someone high up in national intelligence did tell me that they were briefed recently by the FBI, and the FBI did not name the suspect that they named, the Blaze named. The FBI had a person in mind, and it wasn't what the Blaze named. So here's my thought on this. If they knew who the suspect was, and you're familiar with FBI investigations, obviously, looking at them and defending people in court against them, why would it have taken weeks for them to even make this arrest in the first place?
There's no good answer for it. Mm-hmm. Again, none of it adds up. Look, the guys who went to the Capitol on January 6th, the amount of information that was obtained that day for people who went there is unprecedented in any investigation in the history of this country. January 6th is the largest and most expensive, comprehensive investigation in the history of the United States of America. That is not hyperbole. That is a factual statement. They should have bank records. They should have his phone pinging in wherever he was. They should be able to locate him. They should have his social media records, and they should have 5 years of history after that. What did he do? Where did he go? Who did he speak to? What did he post about? So on and so forth. My understanding from the articles that I've read is that his family is denying it. You have a mother or a grandmother who's denying it, saying that, you know, he's a quiet guy. He's not really into politics, and there's no way he did things like this. So sometimes in these situations, you have a parent going, yeah, my child, there's something off about him. And we were wondering, this is not one of those situations. The family appears to be taking up for him, right? So we don't know enough yet. So right now, this isn't much different than the Blaze story. What I can say is that I've worked on these cases personally for a very long time with all types of people, and at not any point in time did the government ever work with us, ever try to help us. They did nothing but try to hurt us, obstruct us, and thwart our investigations. We had to put together puzzle pieces that took months and years to do. Sometimes you get it wrong, sometimes you get it right. But I give my credit to the people at the Blaze, whether they got it right or whether they got it wrong. It was a good faith, patriotic effort to do the right thing, because the FBI up until that point had done squat, had done nil, nada, zilch, nothing for 5 years. So the fact that we have something now, again, it's the principle of cause and effect. Now, this individual who's been charged is innocent until proven guilty. He has a right to a fair trial. He has a right to competent representation, and he has a right to defend himself. And if the FBI gets this wrong, then they'll have egg on their face. But the idea that this guy just got conjured up out of thin air, some dusty file that was sitting on a shelf somewhere, and all of a sudden they found it through their hard work, it's a load of crap. It's insulting to the American people. It's insulting to anybody who practiced law for a long time, to anybody who knows anything about investigating crimes or investigating anything like this. And we have to see what they say. But I, my skepticism and my healthy dose of distrust in our government, so a principle that our founding fathers shared with us, is at an all-time high. And, you know, I won't believe anything about this guy until it's proven in court. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be rooting for this guy. I'm going to be rooting for this guy against the FBI, because that's how much I don't believe it. And if he goes down, then he goes down. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I want to see more evidence. I want to see what else they have, because all of this just feels like, I mean, I know what the FBI, I know what these three-letter agencies are capable of doing to people. I've seen it time and time again. You know, I've spoken with Cheryl Atkinson. Another one is another great example. She was working on a bombshell report that embarrassed the Obama administration. And then a whistleblower told her to be careful because the federal government was looking to plant child pornography on her husband's device. And they were in the process of doing that. And so I know what they do. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is a slam dunk. I need to see more evidence to really sell me on this. And I'm sure even if they were to bring this in front of a jury in D.C., I don't see them getting a conviction on this at all right now. And, you know, by the way, while before we went to air with you, CNN just actually released a report saying that they believe that this person told the FBI, Cole, the suspect, told the FBI that he didn't believe in the 2020 election results. And so they're trying now, obviously, to make it appear like maybe there's a right wing angle to all of this, CNN is at least. But keep in mind, there was about, I think it was 50% of Democrats also didn't believe that Joe Biden won the election either. So although they worked aggressively hard to make it a right wing issue, it was actually something that was very bipartisan. But I wanted to turn to a clip of Dan Bongino yesterday, because they're all doing the victory lap right now. So Dan Bongino, deputy director of the FBI, did make an appearance yesterday on Fox News and was asked about why the previous administration didn't solve this case sooner. Take a listen.
Is you did not find any new evidence. It was all there, had been there for the longest period of time. The only difference between you and Director Wray and the Biden DOJ is they did not prioritize it. Why? And I know it wasn't easy to solve, but you did it in 8 months.
Yeah. Sean, I don't know what the hell this prior leadership team was doing outside of, you know, targeting political opponents, weaponizing the FBI, destroying its reputation, embarrassing agents that are doing really good work out there catching terrorists, CCP spies, and everyone else. It's almost like they were intentionally trying to decimate faith in institutions. It's horrifying. I don't know what they were doing. I can tell you what happened, though, when we got there, the director and I. My first meeting, I swore in, and I kid you not, probably 15 minutes later, and the people who are in the meeting know, I said, when I get in there, I want a full brief on this pipe bomber case on day one. And I looked at the case agent after getting a full brief on what they'd done, and they had done some a pretty extensive amount of work. They had chased down, I think, thousands of leads. 6,000-plus interviews had been conducted, hundreds of tips, and it still was relatively stale, the case. And I grabbed the case agent on the way out, and I said, you're going to get me this guy. You're going to track this guy down, and you're going to find him. You're going to get me this guy. I want him. And that started what's been almost a 9-month operation right now to
all
make
right, I
sure
step
that
in on
we
this
could
because
get
obviously
full count.
Fongi, you know, touting his own work there. We heard that clearly, obviously. But he outlined the fact that he's very aware that the previous administration was doing a lot of weaponization things behind the scenes. They were going after people, obviously. But there haven't been any arrests. There hasn't been anything meaningful. I mean, this is obviously great if this is the suspect, the pipe bomber. This is great news. But this is very, very late in the game, like you mentioned. It comes after the blaze broke, who they suspected was the person in all of this, responsible for this. But he's talking about what they did behind the scenes. How come we still haven't seen any major arrests in that sense?
It's a load of crap, man. That is acting. That is what is he? Clint Eastwood? I pulled the guy aside and I said, I want you to get this guy. And he got it. Get the hell out of here, bro. What do you take me for? This is nonsense. None of this adds up.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing adds up about Thomas Crooks. Nothing adds up about the pipe bomber. The good people like you, good journalists out there, good lawyers out there, the American public, were putting pressure on the FBI to perform. That's a great thing. But the idea that they're out there, you know, kicking ass and taking names, and the posse is out there rounding up people and bringing them inside, and they're all being prosecuted for the people who are in that administration and all the horrible things they've done, it's a load of garbage. Look, if this is the guy, and at the end of the day, if they prosecute this guy and he's convicted beyond a reasonable doubt and the evidence demonstrates to the court and to the public that this is him, well, then God bless America. That's a good day. Until that day comes, Dan Bongino, I'm sorry to say, I think you're a great guy. I'm not buying what you're selling. I like you much more as a podcaster. I'm not feeling the whole FBI thing at all. And none of this feels real to me. I think anybody with their spidey senses who are looking at the situation, just like people looked at the election and they said, you know, I don't have all the facts, but I know the election was stolen. I know in my gut and I know in my heart of hearts that we got robbed. I feel the same exact way about all this nonsense. So until they prove it up, you know, going on Fox News and talking to Sean Hannity, and oh yeah, we did it. And you know, I pulled him aside. Do this for your country, kid. You know, make us all proud. Get the hell out of here. I'm not buying it at all. None of it makes sense. We need information, we need facts, we need convictions. Until then, I mean, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't even want to hear about it. It's nonsense.
Well, and since we're on the topic of nonsense, I was really fired up this week when I saw that he put this tweet out about our own Miranda Devine. Now, I say our own because I think Miranda Devine has proven time and time again that she's an absolute patriot. She was one of the only people who were brave enough to bring us the Hunter Biden laptop story. In fact, I know personal background that it was punted at Fox and then the New York Post took it because I was told by sources that she applied a lot of pressure for the Post to run it. And then you have Dan Bongino referring to Devine, who's highly respected as a deep state divine, is the nickname he's given her in all of this, all because of a report that she put out with people who worked for the FBI, who supported this new leadership change and want them to particularly to go out there and to reform the agency. Now, they've given forward a report, I believe it's like 119 pages of their assessment on the job that's been done so far about Dan Bongino and Cash Patel, what they've done so far at the agency. And the interesting point to this is one of the major, major things is they're calling out people like the deputy director for caring more about social media posts rather than going and getting to the crux of this job and going into there to actually do the uprooting of the corruption issues. And then Dan, I guess, proves Miranda's
reporting right, and then just goes out there and calls her deep state divine and then attacks her reporting because he cares more about social media than presenting the facts. I mean, to be fair, McBride, I've continuously reached out about personnel matters, people who are being fired. At least give me a number of how many people have been fired who you've linked to a lot of these weaponization events that were taking place under the Biden regime, and they can't give me anything. I'm not asking for names. Give me numbers. So while they're sitting there and telling you that there's people who are trying to advocate for the old guard, and they're against the new reforms that have been made, I mean, why the heck can't he just give us some information about the new reforms being made? Because we're not seeing anything.
First off, Dan Bongino should issue an apology, a formal apology to Miranda Devine. Calling Miranda Devine deep state divine is absolutely ridiculous. That's like calling Trump the deep state. It makes no sense. First off, when it comes to January 6th stuff, she was the first mainstream journalist at the New York Post, the first member of the mainstream media to cover it, right? She wrote an article about work I was doing back in January or February of 2021. I mean, that's how early and how courageous she was when it comes to this stuff. And then there's the laptop from hell. There's the Hunter Biden story. There's the fact that she took on the intelligence community internationally when she went after Hunter Biden, put herself at great risk. She was celebrated by everybody on the right. She continues to be celebrated by everybody for her good work, including Dan Bongino. The fact that he's now calling her deep state divine, and he's not saying that as a podcaster. He's saying that as somebody who's a part of the upper echelon of the FBI, the federal government. It is absolutely ridiculous. It is preposterous. It is wrong. It is filthy. He should never, ever say something like that. Dan Bongino, you're not a private citizen anymore. You work for me. You work for Brianna Murillo. You work for Miranda Devine. You work for the American public. You are funded and you are paid by the American taxpayer. And by virtue of your post, you need to endure and you need to understand and you need to welcome criticism and skepticism that comes from the American public, especially well-thought-out journalists who are a minority in today's world. The fact that you're calling her deep state divine is disgusting. And when you leave your post and you come back to the podcast world, you know, I look forward to debating you on the issue. I look forward to having a conversation with you on the issue, whatever it's going to be. But you need to apologize about it because what you did is wrong. And you're not doing it as a private citizen. You're doing it as a member of the federal government. It's absolutely ridiculous. It shatters his credibility as a man. It shatters his credibility as a podcaster. It shatters his credibility as a member of the American right, which, again, and now all of a sudden they have this case that makes all this other bad crap go away. I'm not buying any of this at all, Brianna. I don't like it. It stinks to high heaven. I don't trust it. And again, we have to see what happens. I think there's just been an unprecedented level of incompetence. These people have laid down and done nothing. And all of a sudden, when their back is up against the wall, they come up with a dusty file in a room somewhere, and we got the guy. Nah, it doesn't work like that. It's not reality.
Yeah, and the burn bag story, there's more there that we're going to learn more about in the time coming, because they continue to go, oh, there's burn bags left in a closet space, but they won't tell you how they got to the burn bags. They won't tell you who the source of that was and what happened to that source afterwards. And you know, we're still digging into that. But this is what they do. They continuously go out there, McBride, and they continue to just poke and poke. And people who are brave enough to come forward and who don't want these exclusives handed to them directly, like so many other outlets like the Fox Newses of the world do, who actually speak and who actually speak against the machine, the FBI machine still, which Miranda Devine is doing, they attack her. And I think it's an absolute disgrace because she's so well-respected. In fact, the administration respects her enough that so many people, key people, sit down with her, including the president, and do have discussions with her. So it's an absolute disgrace, of course. I want to turn to, while we still have time, Tish James, because you know the reports yesterday that a federal grand jury in Virginia has rejected filing charges against her. This is interesting, given the fact that obviously the original charges were dismissed. What's the status of all of this? Because if a grand jury, in fact, does reject possibly indicting her, can we still wait and maybe hold off for like the appeals process on the dismissal originally?
No, it's over. She won. It's a wrap. This is an look, President Trump is a lot of things. He's a lot of great things. He's a good businessman. He's a great executive. Mm-hmm. When it comes to tariffs, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to foreign relations, he's spot on. One of his weak spots, in my humble opinion, is the legal counsel that he's appointed, the lawyers who surround him, the lawyers who were at the DOJ, the lawyers who were at other places. When he was defending the election lawsuits, or whether he's prosecuting these suits now, they're not getting their job done. Lawyers are judged on their results. Lawyers are judged on their ability to advocate, their ability to put up a good fight, and their results. And you have to understand, when you're going into like a court like D.C. or New York or certain parts of Virginia, you're going to have to deal with the judges there. You're going to have to deal with the system there. And unless your case is airtight, you're going to lose because the court is stacked against you. One of the things about President Obama, Barack Obama, who went before obviously President Trump, was he was a lawyer. He was a well-thought-out lawyer, and he appointed people to the bench all over the bench that are still affecting the what's going on right now, right? These are Obama-appointed judges that are repeatedly shooting down what President Trump is trying to accomplish, right? This stuff has been happening. The legal team knows this. They're going in. Sometimes there's people who haven't been appointed. They've been appointed, but they haven't been confirmed by the Senate. They're being challenged, and rightfully so. There are other times where they're going in half-cocked, and they don't have all the facts. These are not cases by social media or the court of public opinion. These are cases in a court of law where you have to prove up the charges, even to get an indictment. It's harder for a right-leaning cause or a right-leaning prosecution, objectively, to get an indictment, to get a case to trial and to win trial at any of these courts. We're seeing that. I think President Trump is the greatest president that certainly of my lifetime, maybe the greatest president that the United States has ever had. But I do think that one of his weak spots is when it comes to the lawyers that he's appointed and that he has surrounding him. So this is another failure. We're seeing these failures all over the place. And I don't think that it's going to get any better. I hope that President Trump focuses on what's really important when it comes to the legal process, and that's getting as many judges as he possibly can on the bench.
Yeah, McBride, that needs to be a top priority because we continuously have these issues. And I know that's his priority personally, but it's the people behind the scenes who I don't think are carrying out his agenda appropriately. So We'll continue to see. I know Cash Patel yesterday during interviews, the FBI director, giving some type of hints that it's not completely over yet, but it seems pretty much like that one is dead on arrival at this point. McBride, thank you for all the incredible work that you do. And of course, joining us to give us your perspective on all of this. Give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brianna. Have a nice day.
You as well. All right, folks, we are taking your call in the next segment of the program. Give me a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Maybe you like Piers Morgan and you don't like my take on all of this and you want to debate me on Piers Morgan being a patriot. Give us a call. We could talk about it. We could hash things out. I know a lot of you guys are on lines right now want to talk the J6 pipe bomber story as well. So we'll get to your calls in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we've got a couple hours left in this contest to win a couple of really cool rides. You could win a Jeep 392 as well as a 2025 Ford Raptor. And if that's not good enough, we're also going to throw in potentially $20,000. Every purchase gets you about 50 times the entries that we normally do give out for all of this. So your odds of winning go drastically up. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. As if that wasn't a reason enough, we're also doing buy one, get one free on all supplements right now over at the shop. Again, buy one, get one free. That's only going to be lasting another couple of hours. So don't put this off. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. This is an incredible sale, incredible opportunity, of course, to win two sick rides and a lot of cash over at thealexjonesstore.com. More ahead.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days, the rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the ultramethylene blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish sea moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our ultramethylene blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key, you're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the Sea Moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.